to be reading the words of Jesus today in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. And as we read these words, we probably have read them before, but just allow them to sink into your spirit and allow them to really reverberate about what they really mean. Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, not just the wealthy, not just the well-established or the well-connected or the high of society, but everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What man of you is there, whom if his son ask for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if his son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask?" And we're going to stop reading right there. I want to ask you to just bow your heads and we'll pray together and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing and ministering here this morning. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness in our life. We ask this morning, Lord, as we come to the reading of your word, that you would just, I pray that you would anoint me to be a blessing to these that are here today. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give me thought in my mind, that you would put your word in my mouth, and that you would let it come forth under the anointing and with the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Teach us this morning. Instruct us this morning. Have your perfect way. I pray that you will be exalted and be lifted up. And Father, that your people will be edified through the word of the living God. For all of these things we ask, we would ask them in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone that's in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. This morning, I want you to just contemplate for a moment what our text has relayed to us. It is a powerful piece of information. It makes rather clear to us this morning that it is not only God's desire that we ask and that we seek and that we knock. It is not only God's desire for us to come to him in prayer, but it also reveals that it is God's desire to answer our prayers. It also reveals to us that God is eager to answer our prayers. He says, ask. How many of you know that's a great invitation? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, and everyone that seeks, and everyone that knocks. How many of you know that everyone includes you? That includes you this morning. God is eager to hear from you. God is eager to answer your prayers. Wow! That blows my mind. But that's what the word is telling us. We read, and I'm just going to give you some scripture here this morning. We read in James chapter 4 and verse number 2. We read where the Bible said that we have not because we ask not. Hello? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 declares these words, that we are to pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, Jesus, the Bible said, spake a parable unto his disciples unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, said that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. That means that we are to be praying always. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. This is what God says through Paul. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Now, when he says continue in prayer and then says watch in the same, what are we to be watching in? Prayer. Amen. He says continue in prayer and watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Jude chapter 1 verse number 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. We are to be a praying people. I could go on and on and on with verse by verse by verse that teaches us that we are to be a people of prayer. Let me just tell you this morning that prayer is an absolute, defined, distinctive, and definite purpose in our life. Prayer has a defined, distinct, and definite purpose in our life. Number one, and let me just give you some reasons why we are to pray. Number one, first and foremost, prayer is the action by which fellowship is brought into our life between us and God. Prayer brings intimacy. Prayer brings relationship. Prayer brings fellowship between us and God. So number one, prayer first and foremost brings us into intimate relation with Christ, brings us into an intimate relationship with his Father. Secondly, prayer is the biblical avenue or the biblical means by which we are to receive from God. If we do not pray, if we do not ask, we have no expectation to receive. I quoted a moment ago, James, that where he said, we have not because we ask not. If we ask, then we have an expectation of receiving from God. Thirdly, prayer establishes the will of God on earth. Prayer establishes the will of God on earth. You say, Pastor Gary, he is God. He can do whatever he wants without our prayer. Then I ask you, why did Jesus teach his disciples to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because prayer brings it establishes the will of God on planet earth. If you don't like the way things are going on planet Earth, I would challenge you to look into your own prayer life and just ask yourself, am I praying that the will of God will be established in this earth? Because God establishes his will in the earth by his saints through the prayers of his people. Number four, the Bible clearly teaches that we are to pray in the name of Jesus. Let me give you some scripture for that. John chapter 16 and verse number 23. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he, the Father, will give it you. Verse 24, Jesus said, hitherto. That's an old English word for up till now. Up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. But going forward, he said, ask, amen, and you will receive that your joy might be full. So we are to pray in the name of Jesus. Fifthly, the Bible teaches that nothing is impossible with prayer. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. God is not limited by anything. Here's what the Bible says about impossibilities. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 22. It starts out by saying, have faith in God. And literally in the Greek, it says, have the faith of God. That's powerful. Not just have faith in God, but in the Greek, it literally means, children, have the faith of God. Whosoever, he says, shall say to this mountain, and be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Really? I mean, that is powerful. If that ever gets down in your spirit, it will change your life. Because you won't look at your problems the way you've been looking at them any longer. Amen. You'll look at your problems as an opportunity for God to do something special. Amen. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. John chapter 15 and verse number 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, how many of you are abiding in him? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, he said, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. That's powerful stuff. That's life-changing, powerful stuff. Jesus is confirming here in our text that we have the powerful privilege to come to him, amen, by his own promises and pray to the Father in his name, and whoever asks will receive, and whoever seeks will find, and whoever knocks it'll be opened unto them. For everyone that asks in faith, believing, is gonna receive, and everyone that seeks is gonna find, and everyone that knocks, it's gonna swing wide open, and you're gonna receive from the Lord. Those are not my words this morning. That is the word of the Lord. But wait a minute. How many of you have ever asked and you didn't receive? How many of you have ever sought and you're still looking? How many of you have ever knocked and nobody come to the door? Hello? How many of you ever knocked and nobody even said, go away? Not now. Hey, I'm going to get really real with you this morning. There have been times that I prayed and I didn't get what I prayed for. There have been times that I sought, and it just seemed like the answer evaded me. There have been times that I have knocked on heaven's door, and heaven was silent, and no door opened to me. And you have been there too. And I want to make a statement this morning that leads me into my message that I have titled Hindrances to Prayer. Let me make a statement this morning. Are you ready? God hears every single prayer that we pray. Even the prayers of the unrighteous. But let me just tell you something. Just because God hears every prayer does not mean that God is moved to action by our prayer. Let me say that again. God hears every prayer. As a matter of fact, I submit to you that God knows, the scripture said, the very thought and the intent of our heart. So God knows what's down inside of us before we ever open our mouth. I believe that God not only hears every prayer, but every word that we speak. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that there is coming a day when we will all give account for every idle word that we have spoken. Well, that ought to make some people pray right there. What I'm saying this morning is that the Bible tells us that God knows the very intent of our heart. So God hears every single prayer, but God is not provoked to action by every prayer. God is not persuaded to move by every prayer. There are times that we ask and we do not receive. There are times that we knock and it is not open. There are times that we seek and it just seems to evade us. Amen. Now let me just tell you something this morning. I know that I am not the only one that has ever been there. Is this relevant for anybody? Has anybody ever prayed and didn't get what you prayed for? So if God, let me just ask you a question. If God encourages us to pray, and he does, we started the word this morning by proving that he does. If God encourages us to pray, and then God promises us that he will answer, and he does, we went over that too. If God tells us to pray and God promises to answer when we pray, then why do we come up shooting blanks sometime? Well, the question in my mind this morning is why? Why? Lord, you told me to pray. I prayed. Lord, you promised you'd answer. Either I am so dull of hearing or so blind that I can't see, but I ain't got no answer yet. Why? The logical answer to that question this morning is there must be a hindrance. There must be something standing in the way. There must be some condition that we are not meeting. We must understand this morning that the Bible is filled with conditions for our prayers. We need to understand that the Bible is filled with conditions that we must meet in order for our prayers to be answered. Let me share with you this morning five that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. I was telling someone this morning, normally when I pray and begin to ask the Lord for a message for the service on Sunday, I normally start about Tuesday or so of the week. But last Sunday, as I was studying for last Sunday's message, the Lord began to drop this into my heart. I almost preached it last Sunday. So I want you to understand I've had some time to contemplate this. But let me just give you five things this morning, five hindrances. Five hindrances that will hinder our prayers from being answered. Are you ready? Number one. The first hindrance to our prayer, and probably the most dreadful of the hindrances, amen, to an effective prayer life is unconfessed sin. Now, all of us here this morning go, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. How many of you know that if you have iniquity in your heart, if you have sin in your life, God will not hear or be moved by your prayer? Let me give you some verses for that. Turn to Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. And this is God speaking by the prophet. He said, "Behold." Behold, that means look here. Pay attention. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. The prophet is saying, hey, God heard you when you prayed. And it's not like God can't do it. His arm is not short that he cannot save. His ear is not dull of hearing that he cannot hear. That's not what the problem is. Here's the problem. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. Hello? I said, sometimes there are hindrances when we go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter 66 and verse number 18. This is what the Bible says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does it mean to regard iniquity in our heart? It means to coddle and play with something that you know you ain't supposed to be fooling with. It's giving sin a place or a foothold in your life. And when you allow that to happen, you are regarding iniquity. You are coddling with sin. And God said, I will not hear your prayer. You might as well be barking up a tree. Hello? Unconfessed sin in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 28. This is what the scripture says. Then shall they call. And God says, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why would they seek you and why would they call upon you and you would not hear and they wouldn't be able to find you? Here's why. He said, because they have hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, they refused to acknowledge the principles of God. They allowed sin in their life and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. This is what he goes on to say. They would not have any of my counsel and they despised my reproof or my correction. And so God says, if you're going to despise my counsel and you're going to despise my correction and my gentle, loving nature, then he goes on to say, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own doing and they will be filled with their own devices. In other words, if you allow sin into your heart and you reject the counsel of the Lord, he's just going to let you run head on and do your own thing. And he will not hear your prayer. This is what the God's Word translation says. It says, surely the prayer of someone who refuses to listen to God is disgusting. I don't think we could make it any plainer than that. Someone who refuses to be obedient to the word of God and the will of God, their prayer is a disgust to God. I will tell you something this morning. God is not a cosmic Santa Claus. Hello? Yes, he asks us to pray. Yes, he promises us that he will answer. But he also says, if you got sin in your life and iniquity in your heart, I will not hear your prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12 said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear is open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So I assure you this morning, we need to understand that if we are harboring sin in our life, then that very thing that we are hanging on to and coddling in our spirit is the very thing that is derailing our prayers. If you want to have successful prayers and you want to have answers to your prayers, then make sure that there's nothing between you and the Lord. Make sure that you are not regarding iniquity or sin in your life. Amen. That doesn't mean that we never fail or we never sin. We all fail. We all sin. What do we do about it? We confess it. And if we confess it, the Bible said in 1 John 1 and 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So don't allow that sin to be an obstacle and a hindrance to your prayer when Christ has his arms outstretched and says, if you fail, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. He has all of it covered. We just have to be willing. Can you say amen? Number two, the second thing that becomes a hindrance to our prayers is all too often we are found with the wrong motive for prayer. Our motives are not pure. And this happens so subtly, so subtly. Listen to what James says. James chapter 4 and verse number 3. James clearly says, you ask and you receive not. Why, James? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. That you may consume it upon your own pleasures. The God's Word translation said, when you pray for things, you don't get them because you want them for the wrong reason. For your own pleasures. How often we have prayed for something in our life, amen, and our motive was not as pure as it should have been. Hello? I'll tell you a little story. I remember preaching a revival in Burns, Oregon, at the Church of God in Burns, Oregon. And there was a woman that came up after I had finished preaching, and she said, I would like for you to pray with me. I said, what would you like for me to pray with you about? She said, I want you to pray that the Lord will allow me to win the lottery. I said, excuse me? She said, listen, if the Lord will just allow me, I want him to allow me to win the lottery so I can pay for building a new church in this community. And I mean, now on the surface, that sounds really noble, right? So this is what I said to her. I said, I tell you what. I said, let's just pray that God will build the church building, irregardless of how the money comes in. And God is my witness, she looked at me and said, but then I wouldn't win the lottery. And I was like, you're right, here's your sign. It's pretty easy to detect what her motive was. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me give you a biblical example, Matthew chapter 20. long about verse 20, the Bible said that James and John come to Jesus with their mother. And the mother says to Jesus, he says, what will you have me do? And her mother, or their mother says, I want you to promise me. I want you to, now listen, this is kind of an example of prayer. She's asking a petition. She said, I want you to promise me that my two sons will sit, one on your right and one on your left, when you come into the kingdom. And Jesus says to her, can they drink of the cup that I drink from? And she says, oh, yes, Lord, no problem. He asked James and John, can you drink of the cup that I drink? But yes, Lord. They didn't even know what cup he was talking about. They're talking about the cup of suffering. Hello? They didn't even have any idea what kind of cup he was talking about. And really, all they were interested in was position and honor and authority and power and recognition. They just wanted to be somebody in the kingdom. Hello? Talk about wrong motives. Talk about wrong motive. Jesus went on into a discourse about they that were great would be least because they would be servant to everyone. They didn't have any intention of being servant to everyone. They just wanted prominence, power, and position. Wrong motive. With the request. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? Too many times we come to the Lord and our petition comes before the Lord with the wrong motive, so we can ask to consume it upon our own pleasures. And when we come to Him like that, He'll hear you, but He ain't moved. He ain't gonna answer. Hello? He will hear your prayer, but He's not provoked to action. He's not moved by your prayer. The third hindrance that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about was the spirit of stingy and greedy. A stingy or greedy spirit will hinder your prayers. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, the Ebenezer Scrooge mentality. That I got to get all I can all I get. And I ain't giving it to anybody or anything. I'm hanging on to what I got. Well, let me just share something with you this morning. How can we expect much from God when we give very little to God? I know I probably should duck when I'm preaching this part. Say, you know, somebody said, well, tithing must be low. No, actually, God's doing really good stuff. I'm just giving you biblical principle. Hello? Amen. Listen to me for a moment this morning. Amen. It has been said that there is perhaps no greater hindrance to the prayer than stinginess or a lack of being liberal toward the poor or a lack of being liberal toward the King of God, the kingdom of God. It is the one who is generous to others who receives generously from God. Do you have verse for that? I do. The Bible said if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Amen. You reap what you sow. And if you ain't sowing much, don't expect much. Let me give you some verse. I don't want you just taking my word for it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 13. This is what the Bible says. Whosoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but he shall not be heard. Is that pretty plain? The scripture saying that whoever closes their ear, whoever has this Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge mentality and stops his ears up and refuses to recognize the need of the poor He said, there's going to come a day when you cry to the Lord also, and you're not going to be heard. Proverbs 21, verse 13 in the God's Word said, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will call and shall not be answered. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 through verse number 8 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you are sowing a stopped up ear, amen, to the needs of others, and a stopped up ear to the kingdom of God, and you refuse to give because of a stingy spirit, then there's going to come a day in an hour when you call upon the Lord and he will not hear you. I'm talking about hindrances to prayer. In order for us to be, amen, or in order for us to be heard and have our prayers unhindered, we have to have a spirit of charity. A spirit of charity, love and giving. This is what the Bible says about our giving. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 24. It says, and this is the King James, it says, there is that scattereth, and yet it increases. And there is that withholds more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. Here's what it says in the God's Word. One person gives freely and yet grows rich. Because with what measure you give, it shall be measured to you again. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He says, one person gives freely and grows rich, while another person holds back and it grows into poorness or poverty. The bottom line this morning is when we are stingy with God, God will be stingy with us. How many of you want God to be stingy with you? I should. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. How would you like for God to adjust your income according to the tithe that you pay? Shout now. Don't be stingy with God, and God won't be stingy with you. If you want your prayers to be hindered, have an old greedy attitude, and you'll shut up the compassion of God ASAP. Number four, let's move along. Number four, the fourth hindrance to prayer is unforgiveness. But preacher, you don't know what they did to me. I may not, but I know you got to forgive them for your own good. Because if you don't forgive, you are held in a prison all of your own making. This is what the Bible said. You can turn there if you would like, but I'm just going to go ahead and minister it to you. It's Mark chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against anyone, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now, lock down. I mean, hang on, put on a seatbelt. This will rattle you. Because he says, because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. When you refuse to forgive, you are in essence putting a lock on God's forgiveness in your life. Don't do that to yourself. You say, well, preacher, you don't know how they hurt me. Hey, all of us have been hurt. All of us have been hurt. Here's the crux of the matter. If we try to hang on to it, then vengeance is ours, saith the Lord. That's not scripture. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said vengeance belongs to the Lord. And as long as we are hanging on to it, he ain't gonna deal with it. But if we'll let it go, then God will get involved and he'll deal with the matter. Amen. Don't allow unforgiveness to get settled in your spirit and in your heart. It'll cause bitterness and anger and strife and all kinds of hateful, ungodly attitudes in your life. And it'll rob you of a successful prayer life. Anyone here this morning who is nursing a grudge, please, I beseech you for your own sake, let it go. Just let it go. I know it hurt. I know they were in the wrong. But just don't allow it to attach itself to your spirit. Because it will be like a spiritual cancer in your spirit, man, in your life. And it'll affect everything about you. Every action, every decision, everything that you do will be measured by your unforgiveness. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? If you're harboring unforgiveness in your spirit, let it go. That could be the very thing that is derailing your prayers. It could be the very thing that's hindering. Because, amen, because answered prayer comes from a state or a point of view of a forgiven individual crying out to their Father. If we haven't forgiven others, God can't forgive us. So he will not hear our prayer. Let me move along. The fifth hindrance is strife between a husband and wife. You mean that is in the Bible? It is. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And I will just give you a preface as we're moving there. Fussing and fighting with your spouse will hinder your prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. The scripture says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. He's talking about your wife. Ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your what? That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers can be answered. Let me address some things in that scripture. First of all, Peter, it says, give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. He's not trying to say that the woman is inferior. Literally, what he is saying is give honor unto your wife who is the more beautiful and eloquent of the vessels. I am not going to argue with that one bit. My wife is much more beautiful and elegant than I am. When God created man, he said, it's not good for men to be alone. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him the greatest gift he'll ever have. Amen. I'm going to make for him a helpmate. And he created women. And women, I mean, you know, the natural course of our society says, yeah, the Bible is so archaic, we're looked upon as the weaker vessel. That's not what the scripture is saying at all. What it's really saying is us men ought to look at our wives in awe and treasure her as something that is beautiful and elegant and special. And he goes on to say, if you don't do that, your prayers will be hindered. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, there have been times that my wife and I, we've held lots of revival services all over. And, you know, how many of you know when you are getting ready to go to a service and I'm supposed to be preaching, that the enemy would like nothing more than for her and I to get into some old knockdown, drag out, you know, hollering, you know, carrying on kind of fuss. And it's happened. And before I could ever walk into the church, I had to tell her, baby, please, I can't be fussing and fighting with you and have the anointing rest on my heart. I am sorry. I ask you to forgive me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. When God put us together, he made us one flesh. And if we are fussing and fighting with one another, we are literally, a house divided against itself will not stand. And a house that is divided against itself cannot have their prayers successfully heard. If you are here this morning and you are having trouble getting your prayers answered, maybe it is because you are not treating your spouse as you should, with the honor and the respect that they deserve and that God intends for them to have. Oh, preacher, you're just pulling out one verse and hanging your head on it. I'll give you another one. Turn to Malachi. Turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. This is what God says through the prophet Malachi. I'm reading the American Standard Version on this. He says, and this you do. This is what you do. He said, you cover the altar of Jehovah with tears, with weeping and sighing, insomuch that he regards not the offering anymore. Does that sound like somebody that's praying? He says, you've covered the altar of Jehovah with tears. You're seeking the Lord. You've covered the altar with weeping and groaning and sighing insomuch that God no longer regards your offering anymore. Neither does he receive it with goodwill at your hand. And then in verse 14 he says, yet ye say, why? In other words, you're going, why don't you hear me? Why don't you answer me? And God tells him, he says, this is why. Because Jehovah has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. That word treacherously can also be interpreted dishonestly, disrespectfully. God says, this is why your prayer is not being answered, because I, Jehovah, have been a witness to the way that you have been treating your spouse. And I'm not happy about it. That's a loose white translation. He says, she is the companion of thy youth. And your covenant partner. And your covenant relationship. You want to stop the hand of God in a hurry? be verbally abusive or physically abusive to your wife, amen, or your husband, and God will shut the gates of glory right on your face. You are to treat her, him, with the utmost respect and honor. And when you do, God opens up the floodgates and says, I heard your prayer. The answer is on the way. Amen. Stop fussing and fighting with your wife. Stop fussing and fighting with your spouse, your husband. James chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, wherever there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. What I came to tell somebody this morning is that you cannot hate or have a hateful attitude. You cannot have a hateful disposition toward the one that God brought into your life. And when there is that kind of an attitude and that kind of a disposition, there is confusion and there is an evil work. And where confusion is, God is not. He will not abide in that mess. And I'm going to have to hurry and close. I know I said I had five. I got a few more. Can I give them to you? Here's the way we'll get around that. We won't number these. Sorry. What else will hinder your prayer? How about wavering faith? Wavering faith. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. You ask in wavering faith, it's not going to happen. How about fainting along the way? What do you mean fainting along the way? I'm talking about giving up too soon. We pray about something, well, it didn't happen, so we don't pray no more. Baloney. I'm telling you, the scripture that we read this morning, whosoever asks, amen, whoso it'll be given, whosoever seeks, whosoever knocks, for everyone that asketh. That's repeatedly. That means bombarding heaven. In Luke chapter 18, a little widow woman comes to Jesus, or comes to an unjust judge, excuse me, and says, I want you to avenge me of my enemy. And the judge says, I don't fear God, and you're not on my favorite list, so I'm not going to avenge your enemy. But you know what happened? She came back the next day, and he said the same thing. Avenge me of my enemy. I'm not going to avenge you of your enemy. But you know what happened? She came back the next day. And the Bible said that she just kept coming back and kept coming back until finally, amen, he could hear her footsteps coming down the hall about 1:30. And he's like, oh my God, it's that same woman. And finally, because she just wearied him to death, he said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but if I don't give her what she wants, I bet she'll be back tomorrow. I said, sometimes we don't get what we desire because we faint along the way. We give up much too soon. Let me just tell you what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we, what? Faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't cease your prayers. Let me give you a quick testimony. My grandmother had one particular son. My father's brother, he was a rounder. Boy, I'm telling you what, he was I mean, when he made it through life, he cut a wide path. And I can remember my grandmother praying, "Oh God, get a hold of Aaron's heart." She died and went to her grave praying, "God, save my son Aaron." She never saw it. She never saw it. But my dad and his brother, Wayne, got a call from their sister in Northern California and said, "If you want to see Aaron, you better hurry up and get here. He's in St. Elizabeth Hospital and he ain't gonna make it." My dad and my Uncle Wayne jumped in the vehicle that day and they took off for California. When they got there, their other brother, Daryl, yeah. It's true, that'll make you crack up. Their brother Daryl met them in the hallway of the hospital and said, he won't know you. Said he's been out for a couple of days. When he did come to, he didn't know anybody, didn't know anything. He couldn't hold a conversation. He's gone. My dad and my Uncle Wayne walked into the room. My Uncle Aaron opened his eyes and said, "Bud, I've been waiting on you." My dad looked at him and said, "Are you ready to come to Jesus?" He said, "I've been waiting for you to come and pray with me." They prayed with him. He accepted Christ, and they had just got there, got out of the car and came straight to the room. After they prayed with him and visited with him for a moment or two, and he was in his right mind, he received the Lord. They went down to the cafeteria to get a cup of coffee, and they no sooner got to the end of the hall, and Aaron went home to be with the Lord. My grandmother never saw it with her natural eye. But oh, I'm going to tell you what a party on the other side. I said, "Don't give up. You may never see it with your own eye, but I'm telling you, God is faithful and God will do what he said he'll do." Hallelujah. Don't faint. Now, let me give you one more and then I'll hush. How about demonic oppression? Every promise in the book is ours, but I promise you, you are not going to receive the promise without opposition. Because the moment you say, "Lord, I do," the enemy says, "I do too." And he is going to do everything in his power to keep it from coming about in your life. I'll give you an example. Daniel, the Bible said, prayed for 21 days. And finally, on the 21st day, the archangel Michael showed up. And this is what he said: "God heard you the first day you prayed. And I was sent with the answer. But I've been held up by the prince of Persia. I've been held up by this demonic force from hell. And God sent some reinforcement and here I am." So I'm just telling you this morning, sometimes the answer doesn't come because the enemy is just fighting against you. There is a spiritual warfare going on. There is a spiritual battle taking place. And you may not see it with your natural eye, but just keep right on praying. Keep right on believing. Keep right on holding on to the hand of God. Keep right on asking. Keep right on seeking. Keep right on knocking. And it will come to pass. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Hindrances to prayer. Yes, God encourages us to pray. Yes, God promises that he will answer. But yes, there are things that hinder. And there are certain conditions that must be met. We must pray in faith and not wavering faith. We must pray with a pure motive and out of a pure heart. We must pray without condemnation, because condemnation kills faith. We must pray with faith in our spirit. Could it be this morning that because of unconfessed sin, your prayers have been derailed? Could it be because we are asking selfishly and with selfish motives that our prayers are being hijacked? Could it be because we are stingy toward God and toward those in need? And our selfish, stingy attitude has shut up heaven toward us. Could it be that we have unforgiveness towards somebody? I've been in church long enough to know that some people sit on one side because somebody else is sitting on the other side. Could it be because we have unforgiveness in our spirit? Could it be because we are treating our spouse with disrespect? And that angers God. Are we asking in wavering faith? Beloved, the point is that yes, God encourages us to pray, and yes, God promises to answer. Maybe our prayers are not being heard because there is a hindrance in the way. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for putting this word into my spirit. Help us to do a little self-examination this morning. If we are hindering our own prayers from being answered, please show us the error of our way. Please be merciful to us and forgive us and cleanse us. And open your heart and your ear to hear and to be motivated to action on our behalf. Let the answer be on the way, I pray. Speak to our spirits this morning, O God, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here in this place and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, this word was for me. I needed to hear this. Yes, 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 yes. I need to change some things in order for my prayers to be answered. I need to fix some stuff in order to open the window of heaven and my prayer to be successful. Hands lifted all over the building. Please stand up if you would, please. I feel the necessity to just say something here. God does not have me to preach a word that is difficult such as this so you can feel like you are not measuring up. That's not God's objective. That is not what he is out to do. Scripture said that every child who has a father has to endure chastening of that father. If there is no father to correct the child, the scripture said, then that child is a bastard. The reason that God puts a tough word on my spirit to preach to this congregation such as this is because he loves you. And he wants to correct and instruct and bring you into his perfect order and into his perfect will so that he can open the windows of heaven and bless your life. So that you won't have to deal with the frustration of praying and seeking and not finding and not hearing from heaven. It has nothing to do about us not measuring up and not being good enough. No, that had nothing to do with it. He said, I love you and I want to teach you and I want to instruct you so that I can bless you and make your life even better. hands lifted all over this place this morning. Let us just lift our hearts and hands to the Lord this morning. And I want to pray with those that lifted their hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you love us enough to correct us and instruct us and teach us and not leave us to our own devices. Thank you that you love us enough that you are willing to speak to us and gently bring us into your perfect will. And Father, every single hand that was lifted here this morning, for whatever reason they may have lifted their hand, I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you will just bring a spirit of reassurance over their heart. Yeah. Let them know, oh God, that you love them and that you've seen the hand that acknowledged the error of their way. And let them know today, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. And I pray, oh God, that you would touch their hearts and open to them the windows of heaven and let the answers to their prayers begin to be seen and realized in their life. As hindrances are removed, as hindrances are taken out of the way, break the chains of bondage and the silence and the closed door and open unto them, I pray, oh God, the blessings of heaven, the blessing of answered prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Amen and amen, amen, amen.